You're listening to The Driven, the podcast that gives you the news and the views, the ins and the outs on electric vehicles. The Driven is presented by Giles Parkinson, the editor of Renew Economy and The Driven websites.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of The Driven podcast. My name is Giles Parkinson. I'm the editor of The Driven and its associated website Renew Economy and also One Step Off the Grid. And joining me in this special episode are a couple who have gone around Australia in a Tesla. Well, the first ones to go across Australia in a BYD from Perth to Sydney and back. Then they went around Australia in a Tesla Model 3 towing a caravan, and have since been towing a caravan in their Atto 3. So look, Sarah White and Shane Parker, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having us along.
Thanks for having us.
So readers of The Driven may be more familiar with your names, Atto Gal and Gandalf. Sarah, I guess Atto Gal is self-explanatory because you drive an Atto.
That's right, yeah.
Shane Gandalf, that's less obvious.
It is less obvious. I'm actually a scout leader, and a few years back the kids needed to assign me a scout name, and I asked them to not call me, you know, I don't mind what you call me, as long as it's not late for dinner. And they sort of went, huh? and called me Gandalf. So ever since, I've been Gandalf. And that explains the number plate on the Tesla, by the way. That's that Shadow Fact, which is Gandalf's horse.
Oh, is that right? Okay. What's the number plate on the Atto 3?
Atto Gal, would you believe?
Of course it is. Silly me. What's the number plate on the caravans then?
Well, it's just a standard number plate, but I have been thinking that I might get a personalised number plate.
All suggestions welcome.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking QED, as in it is proven.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So, look, before we get to the sort of the tone of the caravan around the country, I mean, what sort of drew you to electric cars in the first place?
Oh, well, I've always wanted to have an electric car, but for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. But last time I went to replace my car, whatever that was, 15 years ago, EVs were expensive and there weren't very many of them to choose from. I think it was a Nissan Leaf was the only choice you had. Mm. When that car died or was about to die, I looked into EVs again and I could buy a Tesla. So I bought a Tesla.
That's about the size of it, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. That was back in, it was during COVID or towards the end of COVID.
Yeah.
And, haven't looked back. I love it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Sarah, what about you?
Well, I think I was experientially led there through driving with Shane in the Model 3. We'd done quite a few trips and I realised the ease and convenience of driving an electric vehicle and just thought, well, I'd quite like to get in on this myself, and was due for an upgrade for my very thirsty V6 car and looked into what was out there. And at the time, BYD were just marketing the Atto 3. It was sort of pre-orders. And it looked like a great vehicle from all the reviews, so I put in an order in the middle of 22.
Fantastic, yes. And you sort of took off and drove from Perth to Sydney and back again. Was just that just the proof that it can be done?
Yeah, that's right. I picked it up in the beginning of December and then at Christmas time drove down to Bremer Bay and back, which is about 1,000 kilometres return, just to have a little go, see what it was like driving my vehicle as opposed to a Tesla. And then 3 weeks, I think, after that was my trip to Sydney and back. So that was about 8,000 kilometres in 13 days. And that was good fun. Yeah. It was quite a challenge not knowing the usage figures of that car over long distances, over different terrain, over different weather conditions. So it was a bit of a challenge, but certainly good fun.
So look, it's interesting because there's a lot more choice now. If you want to go into the market now and buy an EV, you've got all sorts of different cars available to you. You've got some sort of sub $40,000 cars, which is great now. The AMG Fours and the Dolphins and the Aura. But two thirds or nearly two thirds of all electric vehicles in Australia remain Teslas. So maybe just give us how much different is a BYD, for instance, than driving a Tesla?
Okay, it's an interesting question. I think for general your daily drive, your daily commute, I think both cars are equal. I don't sort of prioritize one over another. I think where the Tesla software comes into play is when you're road tripping like we did, and you've really got to be a bit more vigilant about your usage stats and how much you're consuming over different legs because of different charging availability. You know, you've got quite a long distance to travel between charges in some places. And I think the Tesla software currently is superior to the BYD software in terms of its immediate consumption data.
Yeah. And look, I guess the other thing is probably the charging network too.
Yeah, a lot of the Tesla superchargers in WA are now opening up to other cars as well, which is great. But yeah, the charge rate at a supercharger is significant. I've seen my car charge it up to 180 kilowatts or near enough to it. 178, I think, is the highest I've ever seen it. That's very fast.
And the challenge in WA at the moment is most of the rural Tesla superchargers are actually V3, and at the moment BYD software isn't reading V3 superchargers, so we can't use them anyway, which is a bit of a pain.
Ouch. Have you got any explanation from BYD about that?
Not at the moment. It's pending, apparently.
That's
so hopefully it will be pending faster than slower, because it's really inconvenient not to be able to access them when we're able to buy Tesla but not able to because of the car itself.
And I guess the people in WA, the situation is slightly different because there hasn't been that many Tesla superchargers installed there. I mean, they are rolling out now, and as you say, they are open to sort of all vehicles if they can charge. In the eastern states, the Tesla charging network was the very first, and it's the most substantial one. So I think that really drove many people to think, okay, I need to charge this if I'm going to go far. I'm going to get a Tesla because they've got the charging network. But you guys have actually done a lap of Australia or gone across Australia. So is the charging network...
All the way around.
Sorry, yes.
All the way around.
What are your observations about the charging networks now?
Certainly, the East Coast is a breeze. We went clockwise, so we left Perth on Boxing Day and headed north into a heat wave, and so we had probably our more difficult third of the trip at the beginning, and then once we crossed the border into Queensland and then headed across to Townsville, from there down all the way to the Nullarbor was easy sailing because there were just chargers everywhere you look, really. More chargers than you can poke a stick at. If you've got plug share, you can charge somewhere.
Yeah.
The eastern seaboard and across the bottom we didn't plan it at all, really, that part of it. We just drove and enjoyed the holiday.
Fantastic. And this was towing the caravan. Tell us about that and why you did that.
Well, The EV community here in WA is quite strong. So we've got a few friends that have done laps of Australia in their EV. And the Tesla Owners Club of WA actually keeps a list of people who have lapped Australia. There were 31 of them before us. We were number 32. And we were at a few events and talking to our friends, and they were telling us stories about their trips and, you know, the people they meet and the places they've seen. And we thought, that sounds like an awfully good fun way to spend a holiday. And then I think we had too many glasses of wine one Sunday
afternoon,
and thought, well, if we're going to do it, we might as well ratchet it up a level, so we'll get ourselves a caravan and do it with the caravan. So we bought a Cub Drifter from 1986 off of Facebook Marketplace, and brought it home and did a little bit of range testing with it, and took it over the weighbridge to see how heavy it was and things like that. And then we thought, well, we worked out that there was a couple of stretches where we'd be unlikely to be able to charge the car between Fitzroy Crossing and Halls Creek, for example. There's 287 kilometres there, and we were pretty sure we weren't going to be able to do that on one charge, and there's no power points across that stretch of road. There's literally nothing. Some eagles and some really nice scenery. That's about it. So we modified the caravan to have 15 kilowatt hours of batteries in the belly of it. And we strapped some solar panels to the roof so that the 15 kilowatt hours of batteries is kind of like a jerry can, I suppose.
Yes.
And the solar panels recharge the batteries while we're driving along. And then a 5 kilowatt inverter in the caravan so we could charge the car from the caravan wherever we stopped.
And I suppose that allows you to sort of get more range when you're going on sort of side trips and things like that. You might otherwise go, oh, maybe not, but at least with that you can probably go there with some comfort.
Yes, exactly. And even down the eastern seaboard where there was chargers, you know, all over the place, there's a few occasions where we were like, oh, we want to go and do a bit of sightseeing somewhere here along the Great Ocean Road. So we pull over and plug the car into the caravan and go for a walk to see the lighthouse or whatever it is that we're wanting to have a sticky beak at, and the come back to the car and you've got another few percent, another 10% in the car.
Yeah, no, that's great. And like solar panels on the caravans or charging the battery, I mean, how effective is that? Is that? I mean, because, you know, like people have talked about having solar cars, but really, I mean, the amount of panels you can stick in a solar car, I think, it doesn't quite, you know, it takes a long, long time. But presumably as you're driving along or as it's sitting there, you know, out in the sun, it does replenish a little bit.
It does, yeah. We could also charge the caravan from a caravan park, from a 15-amp socket at the caravan park where we pull up. But, yeah, it takes about from dead empty to full just on the solar panels. In summer, it was taking sort of 2.5 days thereabouts to fully charge the batteries in the caravan. So I wouldn't want to, and that's about a third of the charge for the car, so I wouldn't want to be driving just on that. That would take a while.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want to do a lap of Australia if there was no PowerPoints anywhere.
No.
It's possible technically, but we did only have 6 weeks off work, so that was what we had to work with, and it wasn't going to be a solo trip.
Yeah. I reckon I did do some maths on it. I think you could probably do it in about 6 months just off the solar panels on the caravan, but I don't have 6 months off work, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so what about the range then? What about the efficiency? I think you had some starter and some dats about how much you consumed and things like that, and how much it cost you. I'm really interested, though, in, the efficiency of the car. I mean, Tesla Model 3s are pretty efficient. I mean, in mine, I've got one I've had for about 5 years and about 120,000 Ks. I'm doing it about 140 watt-hours per kilometre or whatever the measure is. But I think you may do the same depending on how you drive it. What towing the caravan did what to its range and its efficiency?
Well, I think originally Shane's average was about the same as yours, 15, I think, before the trip. He does live in an area where there's lots of hills, ups and downs, and but also lots of 100 kilometre an hour driving. So about the same average as yourself. But then once we added the caravan and our whole trip stats were 223 watt-hours per kilometre. But we also made some significant aero modifications to the van so that we could make our efficiency as good as we could, as optimal as we could, given the distance that we knew we would be driving. So we had a nice streamlined nose cone at the front and some side panels along the side for aerodynamic.
And, paneled in underneath the caravan as well, so that the suspension was all hidden under a nice smooth surface.
And we worked out that our charging, I think you mentioned charging costs, our charging costs for the trip, we worked out at about $1,500. That's for 17, just under 17,500 kilometres.
Right. And what might it have been if it was a petrol or diesel car?
Yeah, it's always an interesting question, that one. And I guess it just depends on the type of vehicle you drive. I haven't done the stats.
But that's a number. That's
average, I think, 17 and a half.
Well, my... what is it, $2 a litre these days?
Yes.
What would it More. Be? 7, 8. My old car would have been about $2,500 just to drive the car without the caravan. So
there you go. Yeah. And what did the range on the Tesla tell you? Because often when I get into my Model 3, it says, look, you know, you've got X amount of range, 300 kilometres.
You need to charge.
And it doesn't actually know that I've got my surfboard on the roof, and so that's going to reduce it a little bit anyway, and then I might go 110, and it seems to sort of go, oh, no, actually not quite that much. So it must have been giving you some confusing signals when you're towing the van.
It actually worked it out reasonably well after a little while. It seems to take your stats from the last drive as a predictor for the next drive, but yeah, it lied a lot. I've actually got an app, app for the thing called Sexy Buttons, which is like a CAN bus thingo in the car. And that app could tell us exactly how many kilowatt hours were in the battery at any given time. So basically what we did is we went, well, you need to go, say, 200 kilometers to the next charge point. We'd go, we've got 48 kilowatt hours on board divided by 200 kilometers. That gives us X number of watt hours per kilometer that we need to hit. And then you can just, as Sarah was saying, the software in the Tesla is quite good. It shows you what you're consuming for the last 10 Ks, 25 and 50 Ks. So you just keep that little worm underneath the number that you need to get to the next stop, and off you go. Anything less than 200 Ks, we didn't even bother doing that. It was just 200 Ks. Yeah, no, we know we can make that. It was only when we started pushing it to sort of 250 or 220 to 250 Ks, we'd start paying a bit more attention to that, just to make sure we get there.
Yeah. Did you have to sort of like slow down a bit and sort of hypermile and just, you know, take about 10 or 20 kilometres off the speed that you were travelling?
Well, I mean, we towing a caravan, we generally wouldn't want to go above 100 kilometres at anyway. In WA, that is the speed limit towing, even though it's not the same in other states. So we were between 1,900 kilometres an hour for most of the trip anyway. There were a couple of times when we did juggle that range, just maybe went to 80, 85 kilometres an hour if we did have a bit further. But as I mentioned before, having the caravan with the batteries on board meant that for those longer stretches, we could maintain our speed but know that we could pull over for a little while, charge the car from the van for 40 minutes an hour, be topped up enough to go the rest of the way to the next charger.
What was the reaction from people that you met along the way, you know, in the outback or wherever it was? What were some of the more interesting reactions?
We did have some, we always chuckled a bit when we drove along in very remote areas. We'd sort of see someone drive past and their head would swivel and we'd say, did we get the look? Because quite often you could sort of see them processing, oh, there's a Tesla. Whoa, there's a Tesla towing a caravan.
There was one chap in Catherine. Yeah, we pulled out of the charge in Catherine because there's a fast DC charger there now, but we actually charged in the showgrounds off of the 32 amp socket there because that's all that was available. We're pulling out of the showgrounds and this guy, yeah, he did the head swivel and he was driving a big four-wheel drive and pulled around, did a big U, he pulled up, flashed his lights and come in, how you going? This is the best rig I've seen all year. It's fantastic. And yeah, and there's another chap in Barkly Homestead, which is right out in the middle of Northern Territory, sort of halfway to
last pub in the Northern Territory.
Yeah,
that's their claim to fame.
On the way to Queensland, and it's pretty remote out there. And we pulled into the caravan park, and there was quite a few heads swiveling around. And the bloke turns around and says, how did you get this here? Well, I drove it, mate, same as you. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Did you get any negative comments?
I don't think so, no. Not only online, only on like comments underneath newspaper articles and that sort of stuff. Keyboard warriors. In person, people were more interested than anything, and quite often, you know, they come and say hello, and we're fairly friendly chappies, so we'd let them go for a spin in the car and that sort of thing. And
I think we had a few EV converts along the way.
I think we might have, yeah.
And of course,
Jess.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the most famous critic of the of EVs, you know, they won't tow your boats, and you made a special effort to make a point about that. But that was former Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
We did
visit.
That was lovely. Tell us what you were thinking there.
Well, we had a bit of a plan to go around the. We went through the Royal National Park, and we thought we'd go to the Seacliff Bridge, but you know, Cronulla kind of is in that area, so we thought we may as well pop in for the afternoon and see if Mr. Morrison was about. Thought he might want to have a chat about EV towing around the country.
I did actually give him a ring and ask him if he'd like to do a media opportunity with us. But
I think he might have been in Hawaii.
Yeah. I think he was ready to retire, actually, because I think he retired only a couple of days later. So.
Well, he did. I think he possibly prompted by the fact that you guys parked outside his electoral office, and and published that photo. So we actually published a story with a headline saying Scott Morrison resigns from Parliament 3 days after EV towing a caravan parked outside his electoral office. Not really more sort of correlation. More correlation rather than causation. But look, you were a bit naughty with switching the signs, weren't you?
That wasn't actually us. And technically, we weren't actually parked because it's actually a no-standing area. So you can do tricky things with cameras if you've got one person on one side of the road and someone else driving past. You can make it look like you're parked when you're not actually parked.
that's quite funny because a couple of people just sort of said, you know, why aren't they fined? You know, because a couple of people went to the trouble of actually looking on Google Maps and going, hang on, that's not an EV charging space. It's amazing how the lengths that people go, then other people sort of saying, well, they should be fined for standing in a no standing zone. So, that's quite funny.
Well, if you're not standing, then you're not getting fined, are you? I mean, it was actually really, really busy.
It was very, very busy. So, Saturday afternoon, I think. So yeah. It's pretty busy by the beach.
I think we drove past three times before we got shot.
Absolutely. Good on you for doing it. It put a smile on many people's faces. It was just terrific. You've also just more recently driven a, you've towed the same caravan with your Atto 3, I think. Sarah, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Originally, we were sort of tossing up which car to take on our bigger trip, and the Model 3 won for that round. And then over Easter time, we went down to Bremer Bay on the southwest coast of WA. It's about 550 k's south of Perth. And we thought, well, that's an ideal time to do a bit of range testing and comparing with my car range compared to Shane's car. And it actually performed really well. I was pulling about 211 watt hours per kilometre versus the 223 we did with the Tesla. I was doing about 90 average for most of that trip. I think the difference probably, well, Shane reckons I'm lighter on the pedal, but I think probably it's more the aerodynamics of my car has a much higher rear. So we're getting a lot less drag when it comes between the car and the van. I think that probably makes quite a big difference.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And what would you normally get out of the Atto 3 just sort of driving without the van?
Probably about 50, probably about the same, about 150. About the same as the Model 3, 15.
Okay. And what about finding a place to charge? Because, I mean, I think actually down in WA, down in Cogenut, which I think is down the southwest, they've actually opened a Tesla charging station which allows trailers and caravans to sort of pull in and seamlessly charge.
But there were two reasons why that wasn't a bonus for me. The first being it didn't actually open until 2 weeks after we got back from our trip.
Ah.
But the second reason being what we were talking about before, in that it's version 3, so the BYD Atto 3 is not currently able to charge from those superchargers. But thankfully, Cogenup now, we do have a WA EV Network DC charger. So the next time I travel that route, it should be a lot easier to get through. But this particular trip actually was a bit of a pain because I had to charge off a 32 amp for an hour and a half or so at one of the towns because that Cogenup one wasn't available to me.
Oh, right, yeah. And how do you manage normally, with a caravan when you don't have a Cogenup style thing where you can have a drive through? How do you maneuver the car and the van to actually be able to plug into a DC fast charger if one's available?
Well, as you can imagine, it is a bit of a pain. A lot of the I think some of the new developments are taking into account EVs and their towing capacities, but certainly a lot of the older ones, like you say, they're just driving or, you know, forwards or backwards to get to the charger. On our trip, we were really lucky that we didn't find any particularly busy places, so we were generally able to pull around and pull close to the chargers and not block off any other ones. There were a couple of times where we did block off some other chargers, but we would just stay with the car so that we could move it immediately if someone came. And I think there were only about three, maybe four times we had to actually unhitch. And a couple of those were when the charger was based in a shopping centre car park, which is a real pain. I think it's pain for everybody because it's busy and you can't find the chargers, and it's probably unnecessary to have super fast DC chargers in a shopping centre anyway, to be honest.
Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me, there was one bloke that was rude in person. That was that was in South Australia.
Port Augusta,
yeah. Guy in a great big four-wheel drive abused me for blocking off another charger. And I was like, well, you're not going to use it, mate. And I'm standing here ready to move the car if someone comes along. So I don't see your problem. But anyway.
Oh, dear.
It's all about communication, isn't it? If we're standing there standing there and making sure that we're not inconvenient.
And you're checking in,
on PlugShare.
Yeah, checking on PlugShare. And PlugShare is good because you can see ahead of time if someone's put in a nice wide shot, wide photo of the area, you can sort of see, oh, okay, well, I can pull in this way and not block this bit off, or if I, you can work out which charges are a good charger to go to and which ones are not.
It's
just the ones in underground shopping centre car parks that are terrible.
I can imagine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what's your advice if other people are thinking about towing stuff? I mean, we've seen more people, you know, they're towing boats or they're towing jet skis or they're towing other stuff. I guess until we get the really big sort of electric utes, if and when they arrive here in numbers, probably not many people are going to be towing big stuff, and your van, to be fair, was, you know, a reasonably small one, 700 kilograms. A lot of what people want to tow around the country is bigger than that. But look, I guess I've muddled up two questions there.
To take your first question, what's our advice? I mean, generally people that have anything to do with EVs are aware of the ABCs of EV driving: always be charging. So yes. With regard to advice, it would be to always be compliant. And realistically, whatever you're towing in whatever vehicle, and it's not EV specific, you've got to be compliant and know your tow weights. You've got to know what your tow capacity of your vehicle is. You have to have the right tow bar fitted. Compliance with the laws of towing is one of the priorities for safe towing for any vehicle that you're driving. But in terms of the specifics of EV driving, we've tended to look at about 30-40% range reduction for most people is a good guide to start from. So, you know, if they're planning a trip, if they cut their range by 30-40%, that can be a decent starting point, and then they can look at their own unique vehicle's usage.
And we went to a fair bit of effort to make the car be able to charge from the caravan, but I'm not sure that you would even need to do that anymore. I think very soon the WAEV network are dropping a DC charger at Mary River, halfway between Fitzroy Crossing and Halls Creek. So that would make that that leg one of the shorter ones then. It would only be 130-odd Ks between charge points. So, one of the reasons we wanted to do it when we did it is because it was still interesting. It was still a challenge. I think these days, it's only, 4 months later, there's so many more chargers available. It's actually pretty. It'd actually be fairly easy.
Mm. And there's chargers going in across Nullarbor as well. I'm not too. How was your trip across Nullarbor? You've done it a couple of times now, with one with and one without.
No, the Nullarbor's a doddle.
It was even in the 12 months between trips, it was very easy this time round. You had the DC chargers at Woodina and at Streaky Bay, which we didn't have before. Previously, I had to charge from a 32 amp to tire place in Kimber in South Australia on my way westward. But no, now that you've got DCs there, and then you've got obviously the Kaiguna DC, and now since our trip you've got the Nullarbor DC at Nullarbor Roadhouse, which wasn't there for us. And then you've got on this side, you've got the DC at Norseman.
And Sejuna wasn't there either.
Oh, Sejuna as well. Yeah. So it's very, I would say, very easy now.
And what about sort of, you know, towing capacity and getting the tow bars? You've got one with a Tesla and one with a BYD. How helpful and upfront are the companies about sort of giving the advice, you know, and admitting what they can do and what they can't do, and giving realistic help?
Well, I think any reputable company is going to give you the data for the tow bar that it installs, that it should hopefully be the right one for your vehicle. Yeah. Certainly we went through an EV specific tow bar provider, and they've been great.
Give them a shout out.
EV Stealth provided us with both of our tow bars for our vehicles, and they've both been fantastic.
Yeah, it's not a cheap tow bar, but it's a good quality unit. And the Model 3 is good for a ton, like rated for a ton towing, obviously with a brake trailer. The Atto is only 750. Which is why we went for a 750 kilo caravan, because we wanted to be able to tow it with either car. So there's a lot of caravan parks we went through, especially around Australia Day. There was a lot of caravan parks there with a lot of caravans, a lot like ours, with, you know, young families in them. And yeah, in a lot of those places, the people would turn their head, look at us, and go, "Hang on a minute, I I was looking at getting an EV, but I didn't think I could tow my caravan with it. Here we are with a big map on the front of it, with a big circle around it.
Fantastic. And how are the caravan parks helpful? Because you'd probably want to charge your van and your car, I guess. I don't know whether what's the appropriate thing to do when you go to caravan parks?
We just booked ourselves a power caravan site.
Oh, fair enough.
As simple as that. And,
plug it in.
Plug it in, that's right. We didn't really need to charge the van off the caravan park. There was a couple of places we did, but generally speaking, we just pull in, plug the car in. We got it down to about 10 minutes from pulling in, from getting our site allocation to having the cheese and the wine on the table.
Fantastic, fantastic. And what's the next adventure then?
Oh, that is a good question.
We've got itchy tyres. We've been home for 4 months and a little trip down to Bremer Bay. We've got winter coming. Don't know what the next trip is. Ideally, we'd like to see Tasmania or that part of the world, or we had such a great time up in the northwest here. We'd love to visit some of that area up there or across into the Northern Territory. That was a beautiful part of the world.
Hey, I just thought of another question, actually, just with the region, because that's one of the major features about electric vehicles. How does that change or help or whatever when you've got a caravan towing? I mean, because do you find you're using the brake pedal more often because you've got a bigger weight behind you? Do you find that you get more region thrown in there because as you're slowing down, you've got more sort of more force?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's a big difference to towing with an EV that you don't get towing with an ICE vehicle. For every uphill, there's a downhill, generally speaking, except it's sort of crossing the Halls Creek, which is all uphill, which means that the weight of the load you're towing generally doesn't make a great deal of difference to your range. It's all about the aerodynamics of the caravan or the trailer or whatever you've got behind you. When you're going down a hill, the regen just regens all that bit harder. The single pedal driving in the Tesla, we just drove it like we would normally. Wouldn't use the brake pedal any more or less. Sort of only in emergency use type thing. The regen, you definitely notice it going up a hill. The extra consumption because you've got the weight that you're towing behind you, but you also notice it going down the hill, it regens a lot harder, and it doesn't make a huge amount of difference too.
But you didn't feel it was overwhelming, the sort of the regen thing, and you had to sort of apply your brakes yourself. You're quite comfortable with that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fine. Unless it was ridiculous hills like through the Blue Mountains, there were some pretty big hills there that maxed out the regen. But yeah, that was actually, we didn't have the caravan on then; that was just the car.
Oh, fantastic. Well, look, it's been great talking to you both, and look, congratulations on your sort of pioneering efforts, just both in just driving EVs and just sort of towing the caravan around Australia. It's an amazing achievement, and fantastic. And look, thanks for sharing your observations with us and your stories.
It was an awful lot of good fun, and I would highly recommend to anybody, if they get the opportunity to do a lap of our country, just do it. It's really worth it.
Get out there and see it. It's amazing.
We're actually hoping that we could actually get an electric camper van and see if we can do that lap, but I'm not too sure how quickly we'll be able to do that or how soon. But, have you heard anything about that?
Well, I believe there's a chappie about to head off in a truck fairly shortly. Just leave it at that for now.
I know about the truck. Yeah, that could be the Hyundai Mighty, isn't it? I think. Yes. And he's got what he's doing what you do with the caravan. I think he's got a bit of an extra battery in there to sort of help him get across those.
I think he does. Yeah.
That'd be fascinating. Yeah, but I quite like the idea of a fully electric camper van. But it'd be interesting to see. Shane, Sarah, Gandalf, Atto Gal, I keep on getting that mixed up. Look, thanks very much for joining the Driven Podcast.
Thanks very much for having us today.
Thanks.
Yeah, and you've been listening to the Driven Podcast, and we'll be back with another episode sometime soon. Bye for now.